Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Close Up Magic. I'm your host, Stephen Cameron, and today we're going to get into games one and two, the first round series versus Cleveland Cavaliers, which the Magic are down 2-0. Before we get into that, though, I just want to let you all know that I'm recording this Tuesday morning at 6 a.m., actually just before 6 a.m., drinking coffee, and I'm recording directly into my computer mic. It's early, and I'm trying to make as little noise as possible, so setting up my microphones while my daughter was asleep was definitely not going to happen. So I apologize if the audio quality is a little bit different than normal. The Magic are in a tough spot right now. They're down 2-0. They're on the road. They're down 0-2, sorry, on the road. They're heading back home to play games 3 and 4. It's just been tough. But before we get into it, let's just go ahead and get out of the way the normal housekeeping stuff. You all know about the Instagram subscriber program. Go ahead and join that if you'd like. It's $5 a month. It really helps us out. We're going to be utilizing that this summer to really revamp what we're doing and give you even more content that's better to your needs this summer going into next season after the postseason, obviously. The other thing is this podcast is brought to you by Bet Online as your number one source for all summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available for you and your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. If you want to bet on these Orlando Magic playoff games coming up, BetOnline's your spot to do it. You can go ahead and do it right there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Also, shout out to Brandon Kravitz with 96.9 The Game. He is doing a great job with his new podcast, Zone Heads, where he drops 4 episodes a week. They're short, bite-sized episodes, and they're all about Orlando sports, all right? Not just the Magic. Orlando, MLS, UCF, just about everything that happens in Orlando Magic sports, he's covering, and he's dropping them in these awesome bite-sized podcasts. So make sure you head over and check out Zone Heads podcast with Brandon Kravitz, anywhere where you listen to your podcast platforms, whether that's Spotify or Apple Podcast, wherever that may be. So check him out. Good shout out to our dude there. So, all right, this podcast probably is not going to be very long today, 10, 15 minutes. Just kind of going to talk through some thoughts that I've been seeing through these last two games. And they're probably thoughts you've already heard from other people who have gotten podcasts out in the last couple of days as well. You know, pretty sure the Six Man Show and obviously Locked On Magic with Philip have put out episodes. So here's my thoughts. All right. The Magic defensively have been playing pretty well. Both games they've held the Cavs to under 100 points. They're doing a great job fighting through screens. They're doing a great job, limiting the offense within certain areas within the court, causing turnovers, they're forcing them into shots that the Cavs don't necessarily want to be taking, right? They're forcing them into uncomfortable shots at the rim. They're forcing into them into not the best looks from three. Granted, Donovan Mitchell is always going to make good shots because he's just a playoff monster. He's going to find a way. He's a really amazing player. So they're doing the best they can with him. And obviously the Cavs are scoring, but they're just not scoring the best that they'd like to be. They have some things to figure out if they really want to, you know, be competitive in the next round, if they get out from underneath the Magic. So the Magic are doing their job defensively, stopping them from scoring. If you hold a team under 100, that should give you a really good shot at winning a basketball game. However, the Magic just are not able to score right now, and we'll get into that more a little bit later. But, you know, both games, the Magic scored 83 points, 86 points. It's just when that's just not enough, right? And why is that? Why are the Magic not getting what they – why are they scoring so low, right? So, well, there's a couple of things, right? Defensively, the Cavs are just not allowing the Magic to play the way they want to do. And we knew this was going to be a problem. We knew the playoffs were going to expose the Magic's biggest weaknesses. Obviously, that's offense. The Magic, I think, were like 22nd ending the season in offensive rating. And the Cavs are just really letting them kind of, like, they're just stopping what they were good at. Like, how Magic scored before, points in the paint, driving into the paint, and the way the Cavs are defending, they're just not allowing that. They're basically like, so, you know, you got the painted section underneath the basket, and they're basically camping four guys around that paint, you know, one on each side, two kind of on the top corners. And, you know, they shift around depending on where the ball handler for the Magic have, where the Magic ball handler is on the court. But then they have the fifth guy, and sometimes it's a second guy, and there's three in the paint, but they have those guys, you know, just kind of doubling and you know, protecting the ball handler, you know, defending the ball handler, which is really just, you know, okay, so let's say the ball handler does get past that first guy. So the way the Cavs are defending, when the Magic have their ball handler on the perimeter, and let's just say he even gets past the first defender, he's going into a wall of defenders. He's got three to four guys immediately shifting to that ball handler, to, whether it's Paolo or Franz, and basically just saying, no, you're not going to do what you normally do. You're not going to drive into the paint. You're not going to create contact. We're not going to let you, you know, score how you normally score. So they kick out to a shooter, right? The Magic are shooting a bit more from volume from three, but that's just because that's kind of what the Cavs are giving them. They're allowing them to shoot from three, these opportunities, and they're just not converting them right now. The Magic are, you know, they're not a great three-point shooting team. I think they're around like 26th or 27th in the league in three-point shooting. They actually shot 25 or 35% from three as a team in the regular season. Well, in these last two games on the road, where the Magic, they're a better home team than a road team this past year, the first game they shot 21%, the second game they shot 25% from three, right? You have, you know, in this game two, you have guys like Jonathan Isaac, Wendell Carter, Jalen Suggs, Cole Anthony. They shot 2 from 17 from three, right? They don't normally do that. Granted, they're not normally shooting an insane amount, but those are guys that typically are making shots, right? Jonathan Isaac, I think he's shooting around 35% for the season, maybe close to 36. I don't have the stat in front of my head, but you know, he's typically going to shoot halfway decent from three. Jalen Suggs, 40% three-point shooter. We know Cole Anthony, I don't know his stats off the top of my head, but we know he can make shots. Wendell Carter, I think he ended around 38, 39% from three as well. They're shooting more volume from three during the series, but like they're just not even getting close to making them at what they were making, about 10 to 12 points lower than what they make regularly in the season. So that's one thing that I am hopeful for is, like, you know, we said this after game one, I'm saying it again after game two, like I would expect those players to make those shots more as they come to their home, you know, when they have Magic fans behind them. They're playing on a court they're comfortable in, sleeping in their own beds. Imagine those shots for some of those guys that I just called out will start to fall a little bit more, a little bit better. And hopefully that will draw some of the defenders from the paint out to respect them. Now, another thing that can help is the Magic are starting these games off slow. We saw this being a trend at the end of the regular season. They're just not, they're not getting shots to fall early. There's not anyone kind of getting hot pretty quick to kind of gut check the defense at all. So it's like, if you could get, you know, Gary Harris, Jalen Suggs, any of these players to just kind of make a couple of shots quickly off the start, that might actually encourage Cleveland to kind of break away their defense a little bit. That might create a little bit more open space. But right now with these slow starts, they're not allowed, they're just not doing that. The Cleveland has no reason not to just stick to their defensive plan where they're just keeping basically four guys down in the paint and guarding the perimeter with one. They're just not doing that. So it's definitely frustrating. But I do think that is an area that should improve. Now, granted, we're not going to become some amazing three-point shooting team, but can they get back to at least shooting above 30% from three a little bit? I would think so. And that would help a lot, right? If the Magic just made, you know, three or four more three-pointers per game, that would change things drastically for this franchise in this series, as well as actually, you know, not always playing from behind. If they could actually like score a little bit early and get a couple of stops early so they have the lead. I don't think the Magic have really had the lead once at all in this series. So it's that's concerning. I'd like to see them get a little bit of a earlier, a faster start offensively, if they can. And I just think that would change a little bit of how the Cavs defend this franchise. So we'll see. One second. Needed my coffee. I'm sorry about that. Again, it's early. It's 6:11.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
AM as I'm recording this. So the next thing that is causing the Magic to struggle is rebounding. The Magic are allowing a team that was 22nd in the league at offensive rebounding get lots of out rebounds. Shout out to Jared Allen. He's just owning the glass, right? Coach Mosley is starting Jonathan Isaac next to Paolo Banchero at the five, and Jonathan Isaac isn't a bad rebounder, but when you pair him up next to someone like Jared Allen, he's just going to get pushed around a lot. And that's really what's happening. And Paolo, he's a decent rebounder, but he's not a strong rebounder either. Like, I think he averaged 7 rebounds per game this season, which unfortunately actually led the team in rebounding. The Magic, they're not controlling the glass. So the Cavs are getting a lot of second chance point options here, right? So like, you know, in the game last night in game two, the Cavs had 15 offensive rebounds. All right. And I'm looking up the stat for the second one. You know, in the first game, the Cavs had 10 offensive rebounds. That one's not so bad, but last night on game two was horrible. I mean, they literally allowed Jared Allen to have 9 offensive rebounds. He just owned the glass in every way possible. I think there's some adjustments that can be made there. You know, from a coaching standpoint, I'd like to see coach pair Jonathan Isaac next to a bigger body. You know, Wendell Carter Jr., maybe. Like, we don't really see Wendell Carter and Jonathan Isaac share the court at the same time together. And I know there's a lot of mixed feelings about Wendell Carter Jr., but he is a bit bigger. He is a bit stronger than Jonathan Isaac. You put those two next to each other, you might have a better chance of controlling the second chance points that the Cavs got in game two from offensive rebounds. You might be able to just control that glass a little bit better. And that's what you want them. That's an area that can improve, right? This team isn't going to go from an awful three-point shooting team to an amazing three-point shooting team. You can't really make that adjustment. You just hope they make a few more. But you can go from a bad rebounding team, which they weren't during the regular season. The Magic were actually seventh in the league at rebounding. So, like, they can go from being a bad rebounding team to a good rebounding team. They just have to make the adjustments with body positionings, with even the lineups that are out there to kind of take advantage and try and outsize a team that is currently outsizing the Magic. That's really what's happening, right? They're playing Evan Mobley and Jared Allen together. And we're having Jonathan Isaac out there next to Paolo, which, I mean, they're both 6 foot, 6'10 and 7 foot respectively, but they're just getting outsized. Evan Mobley and Jared Allen are both good rebounders. It's just a challenge that needs to be addressed. I honestly can see why coach decided to start Jonathan Isaac at the five. But I really ultimately think you need to do a bigger lineup and bring, you know, I wouldn't say Gary Harris has played bad defensively, but if you go bigger or even just you can leave the starting lineup as it is, but just do more combinations where you have Wendell Carter Jr. and Jonathan Isaac on the floor at the same time, right? I think that would improve things a lot. I know some Magic fans are asking for Gogo to come out. I just don't see that happening. I don't, you know, maybe that could. Maybe I'm overthinking this. I just don't see Coach Mosley breaking his rotation to the extent of bringing in someone who hasn't been in the rotation in weeks onto the floor to play, you know, playoff minutes. I just don't think that's the solution that's going to happen. I think the solution is better utilizing the players that are currently on the floor to, you know, try and stop some of the bleeding on the glass right there. Yeah, I mean, like, there's really not a whole lot more to say from my perspective. The Magic are turning the ball over a bit. You know, I think Paul the first game had 9. I think in the second game he had like 6 turnovers. He's doing a lot of the ball handling, which is expected. You know, particularly because, you know, Jalen Suggs went out for almost the first, I think he had his injury around the 7-minute mark in the first quarter and then didn't come back into the game until the second half of game two. Also, like, shout out to Jalen Suggs for coming back from what looked like a really scary injury. That was not fun looking. His knee looked like it bent the wrong way when he ran into Donovan Mitchell while he was trying to create contact. So it's like, which was not a dirty play, people. We just play in an NBA that encourages creating contact when you have the ball in your hand. So I don't want people thinking Donovan Mitchell is a dirty player. He's not. Just unlucky timing with how those two hit each other. Our players do that too, by the way. Like, they do that move all the time. So just want to give that out. Shout out to Jonathan or Jalen Suggs for being good and coming back. Hopefully we just see him back for regular playing the rest of the playoff series. But, you know, we're seeing a lot of these turnovers again because of how the Cavs are defending. They're causing the Magic to force, you know, awkward passes after these guys are driving into the paint and having 4 guys collapse on them. It's like, which is, you know, allowing them to get, you know, their hands on the ball through passes, which is not creating the pass to be clean. Just forcing really awkward, you know, ball movement to one another. And that's what's helping cause all these turnovers the Magic are having. I'll look it up. You know, last night the Magic had 12 turnovers, not nearly as bad as that was game one. Game two, let's see, they had, thank you for bearing with me as I pull these up. They had 17 turnovers last night. That's just not ideal. I believe that was last night's score. Yeah, that was last night's score in game two. So yeah, just not fun. Those are all things that can get better. They can make smarter choices with the ball and when they pass. They can make smarter choices with lineups and how they're positioning to stop second chance points and controlling the glass a bit more. And even the Magic getting better at offensive rebounding, they can do better there as well. And yeah, I mean, like, other than that, I'm really not upset with the Magic's defense. Like, you didn't hear me complain too much about the Magic's defense. You know, we kind of know certain things are happening, like Cole Anthony's getting picked on a bit defensively. That's understandable. He's an okay defender, but he's obviously one of the weaker links. You know, Wendell Carter's having a little bit of a hard time defensively too. When he gets dragged out outside of the paint, there's a lot of backdoor cuts that are not getting caught with our guys that, you know, could be prevented. So I guess I'm being nitpicky. Those are some areas I'd like to see improved. But you know, we're doing okay. You know, they held the Cavs to 30% 3-point shooting, in game two. Game one, they held them to 26% 3-point shooting. Like, it's not like the Cavs are shooting lights out either. They're just scoring a few more points than the Magic earlier and just holding the lead the entire time. Like, the games aren't blowouts. It's not like they're winning by 30 points. It's 10 and 12 points. There's just the Magic haven't even been able to get close. I think the closest I saw it in game two was like maybe a 5-point and a gap, and that was, I think, in the second or third quarter. Sorry if I don't have that exactly correct. But it was somewhere around there where they had it as close to about 5 points with the second unit. But yeah, they're just not able to really close the gap all that much. So frustrating. Game two, let's see. Game three. The Orlando Magic play at the Kia Center on Thursday, the 25th. At 7 p.m. So Kia Center, get excited, be loud. We want the Magic to win both home games and then go steal game five. That's what needs to happen. We'd love to go back to Cleveland with the series 2-2. That's the ideal situation. That would force the series to go six games. If it gets to game six, if they can steal game five and they come home, they have a chance to win out the series in game six. This Magic team certainly is not out of this series. Being down 2-0 is not ideal, but they're not out of it. They haven't played a home game yet. They certainly could be finishing going back to Cleveland for game five, 2-2. That's a very real possibility. So looking forward to see how they respond. Looking forward to see how coach responds. You know, they have a day off. I imagine between Tuesday and Thursday that the team will get a little bit more of a practice and re-strategize, run through some drills and stuff like that to adjust for how Cleveland is playing. I bet we see that. So looking forward to that. Make sure you guys tune in to the Friday episode with Al and Anthony. They're going to be recording pretty much directly after game three. So looking forward to that with you all. And check out the Orlando Magic HQ spaces that happen after every single game with Stanley, Bryce, and Skinny. It's been a lot of fun. We're in this. We're here. Magic fifth seed. It's a lot of fun. As frustrating as it is, I'm psyched that the Magic are in this position. Let's go, Magic. See you next time. Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.